Good afternoon, everybody. I think if I'm in charge of building halls to keep the Sabbath, they're going to have lots of windows and there's going to be light that you can see. It's one thing. Okay. Let's see. Well, today we're 57 days away from the Passover. It's a festival of freedom that God redeemed Israel. So I just want to get your minds. That's not what the sermon's going to be about, but just get you in that frame of mind. The Passover is coming. It's getting close. Turn to Genesis 1, and we're going to read verses 26 through 28 to start with. In Genesis 1, verse 26, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them." Now let's just go over a couple pages to chapter 2, and we'll pick it up in verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and he brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.'" Now you can just go back to chapter 1, verse 28. I want to read that. "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the seas, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.'" In God blessing mankind, he told them to be fruitful and multiply. That's the first recorded commandment that was given to man, to be fruitful and multiply. In the process of doing that, a number of things happened. Number one, God started a relationship with mankind just by blessing them, by communicating with them. Telling them to be fruitful and multiply, he also set into effect a natural relationship between the parents and the children. So he established a relationship with them. It's interesting that Jesus quotes verse 27 in the Gospels, and he also quotes in chapter 1, verse 27, he quotes that in the Gospels in Mark and Matthew. He also quotes in chapter 2, verse 24 in the Gospels, and Paul quotes that in Ephesians 31. So he told them to be fruitful and multiply and establish that relationship with them. Let's go to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, we're going to read Psalms 127 and 128. Psalms 127, it says, "A song of degree for Solomon." This is one of the psalms that they apparently sang on their way to the feast. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Skip down to verse 3. "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So children are a heritage. They're a reward that comes from God. "As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates." Psalm 128. Blessed. And please hang on to that word blessed. It'll be coming up again. "Is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. It's going to be something when they see their children's children. I was talking to a man this week that has grandchildren, and he's really enjoying it, and he just said you should just skip the part of parenting and just go right to grandchildren. I think the grandparents might appreciate that. Okay. Now, children are a tremendous blessing. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14, they're called holy. In Malachi, God, and I'm paraphrasing, says that he wants godly seed through a marital relationship. So, when I proposed to have fun night, I had an agenda. I had an agenda for us, this is the way I saw it, for us to develop a relationship between the adults and the children, to have a stronger relationship. You see me playing with the Play-Doh sometimes. Well, that's my way to get to those children. It works real well. I mean, we've made snakes and, what was it? Chocolate chip bologna the last week. And it's just really good to do that, to get to know the children. So that's part of the reason I propose fun night. And I'm hoping that it develops our relationship with the children better. And I hope it's a steamroll thing that is an ongoing thing that happens throughout the year. I really wish I wouldn't have chose the word fun night. Because I started, I'm going to try to base this sermon on fun. So I look it up in the dictionary and, it's not really a good definition. So I'm thinking, that's not the best word. So I really wish it would have been children's night. Now, hang on to that phrase because we're going to see everyone in this room, we are all children. One way or the other, we're all children. And whether it's physically or spiritually, the little children have parents and we have a father spiritually. I've looked up just the word children in Strong's last night or sometime in the last day. In the Hebrew, there's 9 different words used for children. So there's a vast array of Hebrew words used for that. In the Greek, there's 11. Let's go to Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 8. Just to get a flavor of some of the words that are used. I'll try to pronounce them the way they should be pronounced in Hebrew, but please do not hold me to that. Because I've been studying Greek for a little bit and Hebrew for a little bit, and you hear different people say them, and they say them differently. And then I pronounce it different than what they say it. And then it's spelled different sometimes, especially the Hebrew. The Hebrew is not always spelled the same. Sometimes it's spelled with a Y, and sometimes it's spelled with a J. So it's not that easy. Pick it up in verse 6. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That word child is na'ar. If anybody wants to know, I have Strong's numbers here. I'm not going to say them just to save time. But if you want to see what they are, come see me later and I'll show you what they are. And I can even look them up on my computer for you if you want to. So that word, child, is na'ar. So that child's big enough to lead an animal. So what, 5, 6, 3? What do you think, Ray? 5 to 6. So it's big enough to lead an animal. Yeah, that's true. But it's a kid and a calf, so. Let's go to verse 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child, that word, the sucking child, is yanak. That's a little different. That child's still at the breast, you know, but the word sucking, and that word is literally sucking. He's almost ready to be weaned, but he's not quite. So there we have another stage. Shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child, now that's a gamal. That's a child that's been weaned. So here, just in these two verses, we have three stages of life in a childhood. Now turn back to Isaiah 9:6. And here's two more words that are used to describe children. Verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." And it goes on to talk about the government of God will be upon his shoulder. But the word for child is yeled. That's the word for child, yeled. And the word for son is ben. So that's five of the words that are used in the Hebrew out of the nine that describe different stages. Well, in the New Testament, there's not one person in here, spiritually wise, that isn't referred to a child. We're all children. Hang on to that. We are all children. So let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2 and verse 2. Here, Paul tells us to be like newborn babes. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, it never fails me when I'm going to speak. There's a song that impresses something on me. And that last song we sang, "How I Love Thy Word," I thought, boy, that really goes along with the scripture I was reading. And you know, we're to desire that sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. So that's an attitude we're supposed to have, to grow. That word for babe is brephos, if I'm pronouncing it right. Go back to chapter 1 and go to verse 13. "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace which is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy." The word in verse 14, where it has obedient children, the word for children is technon. I think it's interesting that Peter quotes that section out of Leviticus 11, "Be you holy, for I am holy." That's a section on clean and unclean meats. To me, that's interesting that Peter quoted that there. Okay, let's go to Matthew 18, where Jesus compared us to children. Or not really compared us to children. He told us to be like children. Matthew 18, verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as a little child in your attitude, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." That word for child and children in verse 3, that's pahidion. I believe that's how it's pronounced. So Christ told us to have a childlike attitude in our relationship with God the Father and the things we talk about, and even with others. Children are so forgiving about things. Sometimes I'm not as forgiving as I should be. So, anyway, let's go to 1 John. This is a section of scriptures that... 1 John 3, chapter 3. This always gets me excited to read this spot here. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the... King James has sons of God. The word's technon, and it does mean children of God. There's many translations that have children. The children of God, therefore the word knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. I think it's interesting. We're called children of God. I also think it's interesting that John talks about the man that has that hope in him, purifies himself. Very similar to what Peter said about being obedient children. So, to me, that combines the whole Bible together. In the book of 1 John, in the King James Bible, there's 9 times Christians are referred to as little children in the King James. And it's every time it's not the same Greek word. There's 2 Greek words. The one's technion and the other one's pahedion. So it's 2 different words. But John saw Christian as little children. He referred to it in chapter 2. Verse 1, verse 12, verse 13, verse 18, and verse 28, just in chapter 2. So, a point I want to stress is that we are all children. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 16. And I'll show that Paul said very similar things. Let's see, Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That word is technon. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So Paul compares the Christian to children. So now that I think I got that point across, we're all children. Let's go on to the next part. As parents, we're instructed to teach our children. Let's just turn to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4 through 7. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So Israel was told to teach their children. In Deuteronomy 11, 19, it almost says verbatim the same thing. I have a little personal advice for anybody that has young children. Start taking this Bible or buy a different Bible. Because I did that with Catherine when she was 2. We started reading a Bible called the Shocking Bible. It was just the first 5 books of Moses. But if you're like me and you mark in your Bibles... And I do. If anybody's ever seen my Bible, they're marked. Well, if that little child marks in that Bible, don't get upset, because they're just emulating you. And she did that. I remember that. We read through that. We got up to around Jeremiah 25. And then for some reason, I stopped, which I shouldn't have. And now, thankfully, she has picked up reading the Bible on her own. I really think that establishing that relationship in the beginning of reading the Bible really adds to the children. And when they can read, let them read out of it, because it'll help them with English, for sure. So, just a little advice there. Read to your children. Spiritually speaking, David asked God to teach him. Turn to Psalm 25, and we'll look at that. So, there's a whole lot of parallels between the children growing up as infants and us as Christians. I mean, I'm just even scratching the surface. Psalm 25, verses 1 through 12 we'll read. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemy triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercy and thy loving kindness, for they have been told ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquities, for it is great. What man is it that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So all throughout those verses, he's asking for instruction. God, teach me this. All through the Psalms, David is asking, teach me. In Psalm 119, whoever wrote that, I think David wrote that, it's over 10 times that he asked to be taught by God. So that's something we can do, to ask God to teach us. In my Bible, in Psalm 27, just over a page, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. So God wants us to have that, as Peter said, you know, desire that sincere miracle, milk of the word. God wants us to have that attitude. God, teach me. Okay, now, let's all remember that we are all children, and let's turn to Psalm 139. Now, I'm going to read this out of the stone Tanakh, and Tanakh's just the Jewish way of saying the Old Testament. I think it's more involved than that, but I'm summing it up very quickly. Because I think, I'm going to read out of that because I think it has the most meaning for me. I hope it does for you. Psalm 139, I've read it in all the versions I have on my computer. I must have read it out of 6 different Bibles at home. And each and every one seems to have a strength and a weakness. And I think that's because this section is not very easy to translate. That's why they have spots that are a little different. But I'm going to read it out of the stone Tanakh. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. For you have created my mind. In the King James it has, you have possessed my reins. The word for reins is literally kidneys. But you have created my mind. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I acknowledge you, for I am awesomely, wondrously fashioned. Wondrous are your works, and my soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you. That which I was made in concealment, when I was knit together in the lowest parts of the earth. Do you realize our skin is made of a fiber called collagen. I believe I'm saying it right. And it's stronger than steel. Now, how do you get something stronger than steel to be flexible like this? Well, you knit it. You weave it. And then it can bend and go different ways. So it's a fascinating thing for me to think of a knitter knitting my skin together. Knit together in the lowest parts of the earth, and literally in the mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unshaped form, and in your book, all were recorded. I think that section where it says, in your book, all recorded, I personally think that's talking about our DNA code. Whether it is or not, I think it is. I think God's involved in a lot in how we're put together. I know He is. This section says that. Though they will be fashioned through many days, to Him they are all one. To me, how glorious are your thoughts, O God. How very great are their headings. In the King James, it has the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. Even if I were to be constantly awake, in other words, even if I could constantly count God's wonderful thoughts, I'd be counting for eternity. You know, there's so many things we don't know as humans about the DNA code, about astronomy, His thoughts, and God knows all that. I'd be constantly awake and always with you. That's a fascinating section of Scripture to me. And again, what I want to stress is God formed each and every one of us here through the process that He set in motion back in Genesis. So we're all children. If you don't get anything else out of what I say today, I want you to realize that children, and I don't care whether it's spiritual, I don't care whether it's physical, are all blessings. They're tremendous blessings. Children, they're awesome. In the vernacular, they're huge. They add life to the congregation. They add life to a family. They add vitality. And they're a really tremendous blessing. The Jewish people have a tradition on Friday nights. I'd like to read just a little bit about that. What they do is they bless their children in their meal. This would be observant Jew. And the parents would bless their children by standing behind or beside the child and placing their hands on their foreheads. And for the boys, they'll say, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And then for the girls, they'll say, may God make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And then after they've done each one individually, they'll sing a song that's based on Numbers 6, 24 through 27. Their Aaronic benediction is what it is. And they'll sing that song to them. I didn't know that before, and I think that's a good tradition. Maybe not that you do it physically, but in your own mind. You know, think about blessing the children on the Sabbath and every day. And I think maybe God looks at us that way. You know, I know there's times we get frustrated with, we can't do this and we feel like we should be growing more. But I don't think God looks at us quite that way. I think He sees what we're doing and He sees the good and He's thankful for that. Let's go to Genesis 48. I want to go through a couple scriptures just showing where the Jews got this tradition. Psalm 48. And this is a section where Jacob's blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. And I'm just going to read one verse. Verse number 20. And he blessed them, Jacob's blessing Ephraim and Manasseh that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said Ephraim before Manasseh. So Jacob said that in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. So there's a scripture they use that for their blessing their sons. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. I never realized that before. I must have read that who knows how many times. God is the only one that I know. It's Numbers, go to Numbers 6. And we'll start in verse 22. This is the section where they get the Aaronic benediction from. In verse 22 it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron," so he's talking to the priest, "and unto his son, saying, On this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Last week, Brian gave a sermon talking about how the Father's name's on us. Here, the high priest are blessing Israel, and that would put the name of God upon them. I think that's a very good parallel. Let's go to Mark 10. And just to see the importance of blessing children, Mark 10, verses 13 through 16, and we have a tradition of blessing children because of these verses. Pick it up in verse 13. I'm in the wrong one. Matthew is not Mark. Mark 10, verse 13. "And they brought young children to him, and he touched them, and his disciples rebuked them, those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased." Jesus was upset at that. "And he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as little children, he shall not enter therein. And then he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." So Jesus blessed the children. I'll say it again, we're all children, and children are a tremendous blessing to the congregation, no matter what age you're at. We're all a blessing. We all have talents and abilities that God has blessed us with. Let's go to Luke 24. Jesus even blessed the disciples before he went up into heaven. I didn't realize that before, so I started studying this. Luke 24, we'll pick it up in verse 49. And this is Jesus talking. "And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands," so he lifted up his hands and blessed them. "And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was departed from them, and carried up into heaven." So before he was carried up into heaven, he blessed them. He put his hands up. Apparently there's a Jewish tradition that the high priest do that, and some people feel that he was saying the Aaronic benediction. I don't know that's true. I just know he put his hands up and blessed them. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to be reading out of my interlinear that I have, because I like the way it's worded in that. And I will also like to ask a favor of you. I would like to ask you to please pray for me right now emotionally. Because in a little bit, I'm going to be reading some things. It's hard for me to read. It's real emotional. I must have read them 6 times, and about every time I read them, I start crying. So, please leave a silent prayer for me. Okay, thanks. Ephesians 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. And the point I'm going to make here is that God the Father blesses us with all kinds of blessings. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ. How many spiritual blessings do we have? The Holy Spirit, to have the Father's name, to be, forgiveness because of Christ's sacrifice. They go on and on and on. You know, so many blessings God has blessed us with. Verse 4. According as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy and blameless before Him in love, having predestinated us for adoption through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us objects of grace in the beloved. I think the King James has made us accepted in the beloved. I like this, the way that the man's name's George Ricker Barry translated this. He made us objects of grace. That, to me, each and every one of you is an object of grace. So am I, because God the Father looked down and said, I want to make mankind my special jewel. He's blessed us so much. Okay, now. In Psalms 127, verse 3, it said, you don't really need to turn there if you don't want to, but it says the fruit of the womb is His reward, is God's reward. And sometimes, as parents in our life, we get to see great rewards when we see our children grow up and do different things. And I want to share with you some of mine. And this is the part where it gets emotional. God has blessed my daughter with a talent to write her feelings. Very much so. And I have two things here she wrote. And I can't, in words, express how it made me feel when I first read them. I can't say it right now how it makes me feel. Although I can say I'm proud and everything, but I want to share these two things with you. The first one's a poem. It's called O Lord. It was written, she was about 12 years old, and it was written, I think, in February. This is before the Passover it was written. O Lord, I often sit and wonder, O Lord, what I am worth when compared to thy wonders, like a rose that you designed by hand, that has so many complicated things. The petals are so lovely compared to my tender skin. The smell of thy rose is more precious than 1,000 gifts. The part of thy rose are so special that just to stop and think that some person wants to say the glory of this plant is not significant is outrageous. Thy works are far greater than anything that we make. You designed thy creation so well that I can't even imagine what it was like before. I humble myself before thee in the presence of my enemies. Surely you are the one true God that is more forgiving than anyone could dream. To realize that you watched your son die on the cross to forgive our sins overwhelms me. Surely you are the Lord, our God, and you will never forsake us. 12-year-old wrote that. Now I'll try to get my composure together here. Now, this next one's she did this for a assignment in school. I'm not sure what the assignment was. It was about 2 years ago. She has down that it was February 4th. It's called Holding a Piece of Heaven. And her babysitter, where she went to the babysitter, her daughter-in-law was going into labor that day. And so she starts this letter. I'll start in the second paragraph. That whole afternoon, the only thing she realized that the girl was going into labor. That whole afternoon, the only thing I could think about was Carmen and her new baby. I knew Carmen and her husband Willie for about 10 years. Their first child, William Owens Kitts, was the most adorable child ever. I fell in love with him the first day I saw him. I couldn't help but wonder if this baby would be as cute as Owen. However, I didn't find out until Monday the 7th. On Monday, all I could think about was seeing the new baby. I barely made it through the day without losing my concentration. She was at school that day. When I had finally arrived at Karen's house at 4 p.m., I saw the most precious baby in the world. I never thought that that baby would be half as cute as Owen, but somehow he was just as cute. Carmen let me hold the baby in my arms. I was so nervous because all I could think about was what would happen if I dropped him. I said a silent prayer before she handed him to me. Then I saw the most adorable brown eyes staring up at me from a world of ultimate wonder. I couldn't believe it. He was unbelievable. All I could think about was that I knew right then and there that I would love to have a child like this someday. Cade Adam Kitts just looked at me for the longest time, but the way he looked at me reminded me of the way his brother Owen looked the first time I held him. At that very moment, I knew that I would love Cade until the day I died. I loved Cade ever since that moment, and even though he can't talk, I know that he loves me. Now that Cade is 7 months old, he begins to smile at people that he recognizes. Every day that I walk through Karen's door and into the living room, he looks up at me and smiles the biggest and cutest smile known to man. Every time he does that, I remember the fateful day when I first met him and all the emotions that come with it. Eventually, I begin to think of how hard it must have been for God to give his only begotten son for us. It is just so hard to comprehend because I know that babies love their parents more than life itself. And it's hard for me to imagine giving my life for people that I haven't even met yet. But Jesus did. He did it not to please his Father, not to be perfect. He did it for you and me. As well as the babies that are born into the world that for now is full of sin. It is just so unreal that anyone be able to give up their child for any reason, yet God did it for us. The day that I was able to hold Cade was the first time, was a great day, and I know that I will never forget that day that I got to hold a little piece of heaven. That's pretty heavy for me coming from a 15-year-old girl. And I think Christ, I think God the Father and Christ look at us the same way when we repent. Because the parable when Jesus Christ talked about finding the lost sinner, he mentioned that the angels rejoice when a sinner repents. I think when God sees that we're doing things that please him, I think he smiles and maybe gets some of the emotions I just have right now. And as I said before, Catherine has been blessed with a talent to write. And each and every one of us in here, and again, we're all children. We're a blessing. We're all a blessing. He's blessed us with each and every one of us with different talents. And our congregation will become stronger if we learn to appreciate the talents in each other. Let's go to Psalm 128. Almost in closing, not quite. We'll be going to Zechariah 8 too. Psalm 128. I want to read verses 4 through 6 again. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. In other words, it has a healthy respect for God. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. So God's going to bless the whole world eventually. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Won't it be a wonderful time to be able to see that? To be able to see children's children and peace throughout the whole earth. Zechariah talks about it in chapter 8. So I'd like to finish in Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell. Jesus Christ, God the Father, Jesus Christ will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man and his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the cities, so notice that there be old men and old women dwelling in the streets of Jerusalem. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. That shows to me that it's going to be adults, older people, children out there in the streets. Maybe the adults aren't playing, but they're watching. That's what I want to see tonight, hopefully. I think that'll be such a wonderful time to see that in Jerusalem. In verse 6 it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. What a wonderful time that'll be when the whole earth will experience that time period. So, in concluding, I'd like to leave this thought with you. May God bless each and every one of us. May He bless our children, and may our congregation continue to grow.